Amen. All right. So we're going to look at the life in the house of David. All right. And Samuel, you got to start at the beginning, I think, because, you know, you can't look at David without starting with Saul, right? The king that came before him. And so we're going to look at Samuel and Saul, and then we're going to get to David. And really what we're going to cover in this series is 1 Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, made a little bit into Chronicles. And we're just going to kind of go with this life of David, the house of David, until God tells me to shut up about it, okay? And so we're just going to keep talking through it. And I believe God's going to speak to us through this series. And what do we know about David? Well, we know that he was a worshiper. We know that he was a warrior. We know that he became the king of all of Israel, but he started as a lowly shepherd, as the least of his brothers in the house of Jesse. And he was anointed to be king, and he becomes the king, and he makes a big mistake and has to basically be restored by God. He has to pay the price, but he's restored by God in a powerful way. And the Bible goes as far to say that he was a man after God's own heart. How many of you would like to be a man or woman after God's own heart? Come on, that's a good description. I know I want to be that. I know I want your family, your kids to be known as that as well. And so let's go back all the way to Samuel, who was the prophet of God. Now, they would call them seers as well. I think that's kind of a cool statement, right? Like they were known as seers because they could see into the future. They could see things that God revealed to them, and they would then communicate that to God's people. And so they didn't have kings. They had prophets, and then God was really their king. It was a theocracy. God was in charge of the land of Israel. But what happens with every human population at some point, we reject God and we want to do things our own way. And so the people start saying, hey, we look at all these other nations around us. They all got kings. They all got palaces and they be looking all nice and fancy and everything. We want something like that. We want to be like everybody else. Oh, but what we know is that the word says that we're not supposed to be like everybody else. We're supposed to be set apart, right? We're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. But Israel, you know, just like everybody, they fall to this same trap that they want to be like the other nations. They want to be like the other kingdoms. And so they ask for a king. And Samuel is the prophet at the time. And he goes to God and he's like, God, what am I supposed to do here? They're rejecting you and they're asking for an earthly king. And God says, you know what? It's fine. Let them do what they want to do. And he's like, are you sure about this? He said, yes, just do what you're going to do and go anoint Saul, the king over all of Israel. He tells him the exact person to anoint. Then it says, after Samuel anoints Saul to be the king, that the Spirit of God comes on him, and then he leads the people of Israel to victory after victory after victory after victory. And oh my goodness, the Spirit of the Lord is moving in him. The Spirit is leading him. And you see, it's such a powerful thing. And so the title of the message today is The Anointing. Somebody say, The Anointing. I want to talk to you about what it means to be anointed by God. Not just for a specific purpose, a specific reason or season, but just to be anointed in your everyday life. What does that mean? And so I think it'd be smart to just kind of start off by looking, what does anointing even mean? If you look up the word, it just means to rub on or to smear on. And before the first service today, I asked if Michelle would actually pray over me and anoint me with oil before I actually went up to preach. And at the end of the service today, we're going to have an opportunity for everybody in here that wants to be anointed to come up to the front and have a time where you get anointed with oil, and we're going to pray over you. Our prayer team is incredible. They're ready to pray and believe God for miracles in your life. And so we'll have that at the end of service today for each and every one of you. So what were they smearing on though? Like what are they rubbing on? What is this anointing? Well, God gives a specific instruction for the kind of oil that they were supposed to use. It's found in Exodus 30, verse 22. Then the Lord said to Moses, take the following fine spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much, that is 250 shekels of fragrant cinnamon, 250 shekels of fragrant calamus, 500 shekels of cassia, all according to the sanctuary shekel, and a hin of olive oil. okay? What is a hin of olive oil? Now, a hin was basically about 1.5 gallons, all right? So you imagine your milk jug and another half milk jug, and that was the main ingredient, was olive oil. And then they had all these other ingredients that they would mix in, and it would become a very aroma with this oil. So it says, make these into a sacred anointing oil, a fragrant blend, the work of a perfumer. It will be the sacred anointing oil. So when someone was anointed with oil, it was a physical symbol of God choosing that individual, setting apart that individual for a specific reason, for a specific season or a position or an office, or it was something that God decided, hey, this is a holy individual, a holy purpose that they have now. And we see this all throughout scripture in the Old Testament, right? Saul was anointed to be the king over all of Israel. But then we also see that Elisha was one of the prophets, and he was anointed to be a prophet of God. Also, you see that Aaron was anointed to be a priest over all of Israel. So there's different positions that you could be anointed into. We see king, there's prophet, and there's also priest. But it wasn't just, people think that you get this little, can I have that, Michelle? Thank you so much. I appreciate you. This is a little small anointing oil that will anoint every person that wants to up here at the front at the end of service here. And I grew up with these things just at the front of the church. I don't know if any of y'all were a charismatic Pentecostal like me, but man, we had anointing oil on hand. Like the old ladies had it in their purse. You know, like they were ready to anoint. You know, you going through something difficult, they're just like, let me just get that anointing oil out just all over your face. You know, you're like, oh, stop that, ma'am. I don't know you. but they were ready. this isn't how they anointed people in the Bible. This isn't how they did it. It wasn't a little small dab with a little cross or something like that. I anoint you in the name of Jesus. You know, it wasn't like that. It was a lot of oil that they would pour on their heads. I thought it was funny. I was watching the House of David show, and Samuel anoints David, and he puts a decent amount on him, okay? But it actually says when they would anoint somebody, they would like dump it on top of them. It was a lot of oil that they would put all over them. It wasn't a small amount, it was a lot. You see, Psalm 133, 2. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. Guys, this wasn't a small anointing. It wasn't just a little dab. It was a lot. They would put it all over their hair, all over their face. It would run down the beard, down onto the shirt, down on the robes. Listen, I don't know about you, but I don't want a small anointing from God today. I want a big anointing from God. I want to be drenched in the Spirit of God. I want to be overflowing with the Spirit of God. Come on, is anybody in the room today want more of the Spirit of God? You want the anointing, the fresh oil of God over your life. In every area of your life, I'm telling you, I want to be completely drenched in the Spirit of God, because there's a difference in singing and anointed singing. Oh, Lord Jesus, you already know. There's a difference in just leading worship and leading some worship, all right? Oh, you've been in those services. There's a difference in preaching and anointed preaching. It's a big difference. There is a difference in just going to church in a regular church service and an anointed church service by God, where his Spirit is present, where his Spirit is moving. You can feel the difference in the anointing in the room. And listen, there is a difference. It doesn't just have to be in the church world. I believe that there are some anointed businesses that God has in this place today, that God is birthing in you right now. Business owner, entrepreneur, leader. God wants to have an anointed business, not just a regular business where you're just transacting and it's all about the money. Listen, you can actually help people find and follow Jesus through your business in the marketplace. Amen? Man, I'm telling you, I need an anointed marriage. Does anybody want an anointed marriage where you're not just communicating in the flesh, but you're communicating by the Spirit of God? He binds you together. I need an anointed marriage. And I need some anointed parents in the house of God today. I want to be anointed in my parenting. It was so funny because Oakland, I was my six-year-old. He said, Dad, why do you keep saying that word? And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, why do you keep saying annoying? He's like, why do you want to be annoying? I was like, no, son, it's anointed. Anointing? I was like, annoying is what you... Nah, I didn't say that. That's what I thought, though. I thought that. And parents, you all did, too. Somebody say amen. Come on now. Listen, I want to be anointed in my parenting because the anointing isn't just for preachers. The anointing isn't just for prophets. The anointing isn't just for worship leaders. The anointing is for you. Somebody receive it and say amen. I want anointing in my business. I want my marriage, my household to be anointed by the Spirit of God. You can have an anointing from the Lord, but you can also lose the anointing. Oh, Lord. We got to talk about it, Michelle, don't we? You can lose the anointing. You sure can. That's exactly what happened to King Saul. Over the years, Saul became arrogant, he became prideful, and he disobeyed God's orders to destroy their enemies fully. There was one specific instance where he very, very gravely disobeyed God. But what I could probably assume is that that was the straw that broke the camel's back. Then it had been happening over time. He had started to grow a little bit more prideful, a little bit more arrogant. Like he would look back on his past victories and he would say, I did that. That was me that did that. When in reality, it was God that put him in that position to have victory in the first place. But he started to reject this idea. And so what happens? Well, God rejects Saul as king. He tells Samuel, hey, there's going to be a new king. There's going to be somebody new that you need to anoint. So where did Saul go wrong then? Because he was God's anointed. He had the Spirit. The Spirit was on him powerfully is what it says. And he had the anointing from God. Samuel did the whole thing. He dumped it on his head and all that stuff. But what happened? At some point, the oil ran dry. And he started to manufacture his own victories. He started to think it was my power and not God's power. He was leaning on the victories of his past instead of leaning on the victories that God was going to bring him in the future. He was relying on his own strength. What does the Bible say? Don't rely on your own strength. Don't rely on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. But Saul was saying, you know what? I am the king of my own path. Look at all this splendor. Look at all this glamour. Look at what I've built. And that's exactly what we always do. We like to think that we've done it. And so he traded in his anointing for the praise of people. He traded in the praise of his father for the praise of the people. And he was relying on that previous anointing for that future victory. But what did he need? What did he need? He needed a fresh anointing is what he needed because the oil had run dry. He needed a new anointing, a fresh oil because his oil had run stale. And so that's what it says in Psalm 92:10. It says, but you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil. Somebody say fresh oil. The question I want you to ask yourself today is how fresh is my anointing? How fresh is my anointing? Maybe you were anointed before. You were walking with the Spirit. You're in tune with the Spirit of God. You're walking closely with the Lord. But at some point, you started to rely more on your giftings, more on your own talent, more on your own ideas and your own ways than relying on the anointing, than relying on the Spirit of God. Your talent might be getting you through right now, but let me tell you, that's not where the anointing comes from. Where does the anointing come from? It comes from the secret place. What did Saul and David, what was the difference between the two of these guys? Well, Saul was anointed, and then at some point, he stopped seeking after God in the secret place. What do we know about David is that even before he was anointed, he was a worshiper. He'd be out in the fields. He's just playing his lyre, playing it. It's like a little guitar, basically. He'd be singing songs to God and worshiping the Lord. And it was in the secret place that God had already started to birth the anointing within him that was then confirmed by Samuel in the actual oil. Does that make sense? It's the secret place where we get anointed by God. That's when we're going after him, when we're seeking after the Lord, when we're worshiping when nobody else is around, when we're on our knees praying for our family and praying for our kids. And so listen, in the same way it says that you can't pour fresh wine into old wineskins, it's the same thing. You need a fresh anointing. Somebody needs a fresh touch from God today. Amen. Like I need a new touch from God, a fresh touch from the Lord, a fresh outpouring of his spirit. In 1 Samuel 16:1, let's keep going. It says, the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? Since I have rejected him as king over Israel, fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. Verse 6, it says, when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. What do we know about him is that Eliab must have stood probably a head taller than all of the other brothers. He probably looked very kingly in a sense. He had to have had the look for it. And Samuel says, well, obviously, it's got to be this guy. This dude already looks like a king. He's tall. He's good looking. He's got an eight pack. I mean, where does he even get these muscles, right? He's got cannons for arms and he's got a thick mustache, right? Like it just looks amazing. He's got a long mullet flowing. You know, I don't know what he had, but probably a mullet. Probably look real good, you know, so. But it says in verse 7, the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Listen, today you might not feel like you have what it takes to do the thing that God has called you to do. You might not be the most edumacated. Come on, you might not be the strongest. You might not be the best looking. You might not be the richest. You might not have a beautiful mustache. But if God has anointed you, come on somebody, if you have the anointing of the Lord, you have everything that you need. If God is on your side, who can be against you? I don't care what your bank account looks like. I don't care what you look like. I don't care if you have the greatest education. I don't care. Listen, if you've been anointed by God, you have everything you need. That's all you need. If I have Jesus, I got everything. And so let's keep going. Verse 8. Then Jesus called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord hasn't chosen this one either. Jesse then had Shema pass by, but Samuel said, nor has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse answered. He is tending the sheep, Samuel said. Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So David is out tending the sheep, and this dude wasn't even invited to the party, right? You got to think, remember, they didn't have texting back in the day. There wasn't somebody there that was texting David and being like, yo, this is wild. Like Samuel's here and like all your brothers are here. He's got this big thing of oil. Like, what's going on, David? You know, David's like, give me the updates. You know, like, no, like it wasn't like that. So then they go send for David and he shows up and he's walking up to this scene with all of his brothers and his dad and the prophet Samuel. And if I'm David, the first thing I'm asking is, where was the invite, Dad? Thanks for that. Appreciate that, man. And so he goes up to Samuel, and then we'll see in just a moment what happens. But listen, I just think that maybe some of you today have been overlooked the same way that David was overlooked by his father. He was completely overlooked. He's like, well, he's just out tending the sheep. There's no way that, you know, what you could want would be with David. Like, that just doesn't even make any sense. I mean, but I think some of you might've been overlooked in your life, overlooked for a promotion at the job that you have been working so faithfully at. You've been overlooked for a leadership role. Maybe students, you were overlooked for a scholarship or overlooked to gain entrance into the university that you wanted to go to and they didn't accept you into it. Maybe you've been overlooked by your family or your friends. Listen, David's own father didn't even think that he was capable of what was about to come next. But aren't you grateful that it's God who decides your worth and your value? It's God that anoints, and he's not looking at anything else other than your heart for him. Amen. It's God that decides your value, not man, not you, not anybody else. And so at verse 12, let's keep going. So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Hold on a second. Didn't you just say that God doesn't look at the outward appearance and now you're gonna tell me that David's a good looking dude? Okay, let me explain. Because it seems like it's kind of contradicting itself here, right? It's like, hold on, you just said God doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. And then David shows up and he's like incredibly good looking. You're like, yeah, that guy. No, it doesn't make sense, right? Let me explain. So David was young, like he was really young. And his other brothers, they had already been fighting. They had already been trained. They were probably much bigger, much stronger. They probably had the muscles. They probably carried themselves more in a kingly manner. You know, they're taller and they're just bigger. They look like the part. David was much younger. Listen, when I was 15 to 16 years old, I was a stick, okay? And if somebody was to come up to me and be like, this man will lead a church one day, I'd be like, no, definitely not. This kid is a punk. You know what I mean? Look at this kid. Never in a million years would he be leading a church. And yet here I am, you know what I'm saying? But that's probably why he had this same idea. Well, God doesn't look at the outward appearance. He had some good looking features, but he was young. He was small. He's probably a lot shorter than his brothers. Let me keep going. Here we go. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, watch this, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. What have we already started to see? The anointing. Saul gets anointed. And then it says, you can go back and read it. Saul is anointed. And it says the exact same words, that the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon Saul. And now it's happening to David. He gets anointed and the Spirit of the Lord comes powerfully upon David from that day on. There is a direct correlation between the anointing of God and the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? There is. When the Spirit of the Lord comes on you, let me tell you today, there is nothing that you cannot do. When you have God on your side fighting your battles ahead of you, listen, it was after the anointing that David went and slayed Goliath. It was after the anointing on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit shakes the upper room that the 120 were there. They are anointed in the Spirit of God. And then Peter goes out and preaches and 3,000 people all get saved. It was after the anointing when Jesus comes up out of the baptism water. And it says that the Spirit of God descended on him like a dove. That is the anointing of the Spirit over Jesus. You know what he does right after that? He goes into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights to get tempted by the enemy. Listen, I'm telling you, right after that, he gets back, Jesus does, from being tempted. And the first thing he says when he gets back from all this craziness, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. In Luke 4, 18, 19, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has what? Anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Listen, when you are under the anointing of God and the Spirit of the Lord is on you, just like David, I believe giants are going to fall in your life. Amen? I'm telling you, just like Peter, when the anointing came in the upper room, he goes outside and 3,000 people are saved. When you have the anointing, people in your family are going to get saved. People at your workplace are going to get saved. You're going to be more bold in sharing your faith. Listen, the devil can't beat you. Why? Because when you're anointed, you can withstand the temptations of the enemy now. And you're going to come back from that temptation. You're going to say, you know what? Listen, there's freedom and healing and favor of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Why? Because you've been anointed by God. How do you get the anointing though? Because in the Old Testament, you had to be chosen. God had to just pick you. And it wasn't, you couldn't just be like the old lady with the anointing oil and just like, God has anointed you. Like you can't. That's not how it worked. It was God specifically told a prophet, somebody, go anoint this person. I have chosen them. Here's the deal. In the Old Testament, that's how things worked. And now I fully believe that today God still chooses and appoints, places people in leadership. He places people in governments. He places kings. He places pastors and leaders. He places business owners. Like he anoints people for specific things and sets them apart for a holy purpose. I absolutely believe that. But you know what we get today that they didn't have back then? We have Jesus. Amen. We have Jesus Christ. It all starts with Jesus, because he is the anointed one. And he passes that anointing on to you and to me. It says that Jesus, when he came up out of the baptism water, the Holy Spirit anoints him. And then in Acts 10:38, they're kind of explaining this anointing that Jesus had. I want you to catch this. Ready? It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good. Somebody say, doing good. He just went about doing some good things. Healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. It says, God anointed Jesus to go about doing good. And I want you to see this. Please catch this today. Anytime you see anointing in scripture, you will always see the Spirit of God with it. Always. He anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. And I know this to be true, that God anoints Jesus to go out and do good. And then Jesus, when he left, he said to his disciples, what? Don't leave Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high, until you receive the Holy Spirit. What is that, y'all? That is the anointing. That's the anointing of God, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's for 2 Corinthians 1 says, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. In 1 John 2, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. Saul was anointed, and it says the Spirit was in him and with him. David was anointed, and the Spirit was with him. Jesus was anointed, and the Spirit was with him. The people in the upper room were anointed, and the Spirit was with them. Listen, I'm telling you, you can be anointed, and the Spirit will be with you. Come on, does anybody want the Spirit to be with you? God guiding you, leading you. Oh my goodness, I want to be anointed. And so we're going to have a time of anointing in just a moment. I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up. They're going to get ready to play, and we're going to worship, and we're just going to pray together. But I need to get this across to somebody here today, because I understand we have people from many different backgrounds, and I just want to make this very, very clear. As we are anointing you today, and we'll have people, so I'll explain what we're going to do, and then I'll tell you this here. In just a moment, before we, you know, start worshiping, we'll have everybody come down the sides and then come through the middle like this. And then we'll have our prayer team up here ready to anoint you. It'll just be a little dab on the head. We won't do it Old Testament, I promise. All right, we ain't going to be just, here we go. Unless I get a little cray cray, you know what I'm saying? Maybe I'm messing, we won't do that. And then we'll anoint you here. And we'll pray over you for a few moments. We just want to bless you here today. And then we'll have you kind of come back through the middle and then go back to your seats, all right? But here's the thing. This oil is a symbol of God's anointing. This is not the anointing. Does that make sense? There's no power in the oil itself. The Spirit of God is what anoints you. That's why I wanted to make these correlations, is that anytime you see the anointing, the Spirit is always with it, right? Why? It's because it's the Spirit that anoints you. This is just the symbol of God choosing you and saying, hey, you are now being anointed. This is the activation of what God has already been doing in your heart. This is the symbol of God saying, hey, you know what? Have you been seeking me? Have you been looking for more of me? Do you want more of my Spirit? Do you want more of my presence? Do you want to be led more by me and less by you? Well, then you know what? Let's anoint you and let's seek after me for more, and then we'll see what, man, what I can do in you. That's what God is saying with this oil, all right? There's no holy water. There's no specific anointing oil that has any power inherently within itself. You know where the power that David had? It came from the secret place. God was already preparing his heart for the anointing of the Holy Spirit as he was worshiping on his own. As he was out in the fields with them stinky sheep, he was playing and he was worshiping. God, I love you. Oh God, I praise you. I honor you, Lord. He's worshiping. He's thanking God. God, I seek after you. I want more of you. Let me be led by your presence, not by me. He's worshiping. And that's where his anointing came from. God said, I can work with that. Saul, maybe he had that at one point, but there was a time when he lost it. He didn't have that fresh anointing. And David steps in. And so I don't want you to come up here today and thinking, if I just get some oil on my head, I will be anointed and appointed by God. No, no, that's not what it means. Because the power of the anointing comes from the Spirit. It comes from the seeking. It comes from the, hey, God, I want more of you. It's the heart posture, right? Because God doesn't look at the outward appearance. God didn't look at Saul with all the oil on his head. Oh, well, this person's been anointed by oil. That means something. Listen, God looks at your what? Your heart. Where is your heart posture today? Is it to seek after more of God? I encourage you to stand with me if you can today. And we're going to worship in just a moment. Prayer team, if you could go ahead and make your way up to the front. We're going to have a few people ready here to anoint you with oil and pray with you and believe with you that God's going to do something powerful in your life. So for just a moment, would you just put your hands up like this, like you're about to receive a gift from the Lord, and I want to pray with you. Come on, let's just seek after God for a moment. It's the secret place, right? It's the heart posture. It's the anticipation. It's the expectation that we bring to God. That's how he anoints us. So come on, all over this place, would you just start lifting your voice up to God? Lord, I love you. Lord, would you anoint me? Start saying that. God, anoint me. Lord Jesus, anoint my head with oil. Anoint me in your Spirit today. God, pour out your Spirit on me, Lord. I need more of you, Lord. I don't want to be led by my ways, but my thoughts, but I want to be led by you today, God. Lord, I seek after you, Jesus. I need more of your Spirit. I need more of your presence, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you that you're moving in this place today. Oh, you're holy. We honor you. We worship you today. The same way that you anointed David, the same way you anointed Aaron, the same way you anointed Jesus, and you anointed the disciples and the 120 in the upper room, God, I ask that you pour out your Spirit upon these people here today. Pour out your Spirit to those people that are saying yes to more of you. Like Isaiah, they're saying, God, here am I. Send me, Lord. I'm available, Lord. Use me. Use me, God. Lord, would you anoint me with your Spirit? Maybe there's some people in here today that you have lost your anointing, that you have had that fresh oil at one point, but it's gone stale. God, I pray right now that you bring a fresh anointing, a fresh touch from you, the same way that in the book of Acts, you anointed them not just one time, not just two times were they filled with the Spirit, not just three times, but they were filled with the Spirit again, again, and again, and again, and again. God, fill us again with your Spirit today. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. But all across this place, if you want an anointing from God today, I encourage you, come down the side aisles, come down to the front, and let one of our prayer team anoint you today as we worship Jesus some more. Here we go.